Everything enthused me like it does today, like Jesus enthuses me today. And when Jesus Christ came into my life and shone upon this poor soul of mine like the Son of Righteousness, everything became unimportant. Up to that time, it had been my ambition to be the best jeweler in town. I think I attained to that ambition pretty well. But after that, it didn't matter to me whether I was sweeping streets or shining shoes or what I was doing. As long as I could follow Jesus Christ, and I found out that unless you really fall in love with Jesus, you're not likely to forget all and to forsake all. But I believe God has brought us together in this place in order to strengthen in our souls the determination to be all for Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Look at the Apostle Paul. He says, finally, my brethren, he had been talking about that marvelous Son of God who was made higher than the heavens. What good would that do me? To know how great Jesus is, how that all things were created by him and for him, and how that all things were made subject unto him, unless he had been willing to humble himself and to come down to where I was. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. And he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. And Jesus Christ did that. And that's what makes him so precious to me. And the Apostle Paul is talking about that to the Ephesians, or to the Philippians. And he says, and I'm persuaded that he that hath begun a good work in you will also finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. He was persuaded because he knew somehow that Jesus Christ had become the beginning. No man has a different beginning. That's the place where God puts you on the right track, and where you begin to forsake the city of destruction and to follow the Son of God and to be perfected. And he tells us what that perfection constitutes and what it means. First of all, he says, to be filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. That's God's work. We are his masterpiece, and Jesus Christ wants to present every one of us without spot, unrebukable in the presence of the Father, not in our own estimation, but before his glory. What a job Jesus Christ has undertaken to do in all of us. And the Apostle Paul, writing to the early church, says, I know, beloved brethren, your election of God. I'm looking over people tonight of whom I can say the same thing. I remember how they came to the Lord 30 or almost 40 years ago, and how they grew in God, and how the Lord Jesus Christ has taken them on. It is my great joy to see them in this meeting tonight. And what a joy, the Apostle Paul says, will you be in that day. You will be our glory and our joy. It is the job of a true Pentecostal assembly not only to get people saved, but to put them on the right track. And the Apostle Paul did that. He said, our preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And that's why lots of people didn't like his preaching. But he says, when our word, our gospel came to you, it came not in word only, but also in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And you received the word as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually also worketh in you. That's the mark of a true choice of God. When people are struck with conviction deep enough to forsake all, and when Jesus Christ becomes precious to their souls. And now he goes on to say, finally, brethren, he is not through with the Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is saved. And then he goes on to tell about himself, how that he had much to glory in. He had attained to a place in the company of Pharisees that made him eminent, made him one of the best, one of the most revered, and one of the most respected Pharisees. But now he says, I count it all but refuse for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse. That reminds us of another scripture where God says, he lifted the beggar from the dunghill. Leaving all becomes the most glorious experience. When the king comes to lift you from the dunghill, when he calls you out of yourself, calls you away from the world and the flesh and the devil to follow him, and that alone constitutes a true Christian life. He doesn't call us to come out from among them, but he calls us to come in. He calls us to forsake the world that we might gain him, to count everything but refuse that we might become partakers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here the Apostle Paul is an example to us. He says, brethren, one thing I do, and that is the thing I'd like to impress upon our hearts tonight. There is one thing that is absolutely necessary and that is lacking so much these days, and that is a seeking spirit. A real cry and a great longing in my soul to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. It is lacking. The Lord pointed out to me one day a few people around the faith home in Zion that had a seeking spirit, and I saw that he wouldn't have had to name them at all. I could see that you can find quickly who the people are that are living a seeking spirit. Some of our young people have learned the lesson a little bit. I remember two who came out of the Roman Catholic Church. They were boys. And they immediately laid hold upon this truth and they began to live a life of prayer. When I went to visit them, I'd have to call them from underneath the stove. They didn't have a prayer closet. And so one of the boys would crawl under the stove and I'd have to pull him out by his hind legs before I could talk to him. There he was praying for hours, seeking the Lord with all his heart. What happens when you live that kind of a life? Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit must give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And that doesn't come until we really seek Jesus. That's why he says, they that seek me early shall find me. God calls upon every one of us to forsake the things of earth and to become prepared for that great and glorious day of the Lord. Beloved, we are made partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence and if we're not moved away from the hope of the gospel. We find that in the New Testament, throughout the New Testament. To the Thessalonians, he says, everybody talks about you, how you turn to God from idols. They received the word of God as it is in truth the word of God. They took it to heart. And they thought that God meant what he said. When he said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thought. Or when he says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I told you about a woman in Germany who had three daughters. They were intellectual girls, intelligent girls rather, and they were rather pretty. But they were Christians, like the daughters of Philip. They prophesied. They lived for Jesus. And some women came to this mother and they said, you ought to send your girls to the beauty parlor. You ought to teach them to be a little bit more up to date. You don't want to make old maids out of them. You want them to be conformed to the usage of this world. And she says, I'm not training my children for this world. I'm training them for heaven. I'm training them for the coming of the Lord. Now, where do you find mothers that train their children like that? Mothers or fathers? Well, if they don't, they'll certainly come up missing in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that has begun a good work in you wants to finish it. And what is that finish? Why, it's a glorious finish. When this body, this vile body, he calls it. Or, as another version says, the body of our humiliation. Oh, how we need these beauty parlors to fix up this carcass. The farmers in the Middle West are complaining that they cannot get enough red paint to paint their barns with because the women all requisition the red paint to paint their lips and their toenails. We need that. I never criticize people for painting or fixing themselves up. They need it. They've got a lot to cover. But I tell you, when your heart is washed white, you don't need to whitewash it. And you don't need to cover yourself with paint when you have that beauty of the Son of God. And when the Lord Jesus Christ began this gracious work, he called us out from among them. And he says, except you take up your cross daily and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Hardly anybody believes that. Beloved, there's no cure for this body of our humiliation, this vile body and this wicked heart of ours. And God says it's desperately wicked and deceitful above all things, but we have learned to fix it up in a Pentecostal way, and we get along pretty well. I've known people that have found out that they can live very much like the world and still speak in tongues and still prophesy and still get a blessing in the meeting. They carry water on both shoulders. God says, if the Lord be God, serve him, and if Baal be God, serve him. But Almighty God has called us out from among them. And the Apostle Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's where I begin. That's where God begins. That's the only place where he begins his gracious work, when I reckon myself dead indeed. Dead indeed unto sin by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and alive unto God through Jesus Christ my Lord. And beloved, that doesn't come unless I really mean business. Mean business unto death. I'm so thankful that God led us, the gardeners, myself, and some others, in among a church where this thing was not only preached, but it was lived. We had the example before us. Oh, how powerful, how mighty those examples are of lives that don't talk about holiness, but that live holiness. They don't only talk about purity, but they are pure. They convict you when you get in touch with them. They have that perfect tongue that convicts you when you get into their fellowship and into their presence. And we are certainly thankful to be in this place today, and we're certainly thankful to have the light shining among us, that there is absolutely no other way but Jesus Christ, and he that hath begun a good work in you wants to finish it. And is he going to finish it? Leaving all to follow Jesus, all to be prepared for that glorious event. God says that he has baptized us with the Holy Ghost for that one purpose, that he might prepare us for that glorious event when this vile body shall be clothed upon with immortality. And that's what the Apostle Paul's talking about in this wonderful chapter. He says, you Philippians think you're perfect? Isn't that our trouble? As soon as we have a little blessing, we begin to make propaganda for ourselves, and we begin to testify and talk about it. And that's often the fault of us preachers. As soon as God gives us a little experience or a little light, we think we can preach about it, instead of, first of all, making sure that we live it. The husbandman that laboreth must first partake of the fruit. Consider what I say, and the Lord shall give you understanding in all things. But the glorious thought is this, that Jesus Christ is my beginning. I have begun with him, and he has begun with me. And he has made that gracious and glorious beginning when I came to him and confessed my sins to him. He not only forgave my sin, but he cleansed me from all unrighteousness. I found out that that also takes time, and that also takes earnest seeking. And when God came into my life, I had already learned to live a Christian life, and I had already been very earnest about living for God. But when the Holy Ghost began to convict me according to this glorious word, how we ought to thank God for this Bible. It is like a two-edged sword that pierces to asunder the soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And I found out God was not only seeking to make me a Christian on the outside, but on the inside. David was not a man after God's own heart until he had discovered an enemy within his soul that he hadn't known about, hadn't paid much attention to. He had beaten Goliath, and he had beaten the Philistines and the Amalekites, and had won one victory after another. And when God had delivered him from all these enemies, God showed him another enemy that was more insidious, more deceitful. And it was in the depth of his soul, and he hadn't discovered it because he hadn't paid enough attention to God's call until he fell into the pit. And oh, how he cried, oh God, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part shalt thou make me to know wisdom. Until I pray that prayer, beloved, I have not yet made that beginning. He cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. Oh, that's the kind of a Savior I need. That's the kind of a Bible I need. That's the kind of Bible study I need. I need to meditate upon this word until it becomes a discerner of my thoughts. How many people are satisfied to be clean on the outside or to appear clean? I said to one woman recently, when I called attention to some of her faults, and she didn't like it at all. She said, I'm not like that. She says, you always kick. You always find fault with me. I said, you know what's the matter with you? You want to appear better than you are. If you really desire cleansing and a pure heart, you will welcome criticism and judgment and instruction in righteousness. But the trouble with us is we like to appear better than we are. Otherwise, God would unsheathe his sword and he would deal with us about the thoughts and intents of our heart. And he would certainly finish that gracious work and present us spotless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. But beloved, it doesn't happen unless we really make seeking the main job of our lives. Now, I mean that because I didn't get anywhere with God until I began to seek the Lord with my whole heart, until I put everything into it, until I forsook everything and counted everything but refuse for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. When the German people complain about the American bombers bombing them out of everything, they come and they weep and they say, we lost everything. I said, so did I, without bombing. I did it gladly and joyfully. When you get a sight of the glory of Jesus and when you get a sight of your call, beloved, we're called to be partakers of Christ. We are called to be like unto the Son of God. And when that gets hold of you, you're not going to be careless about it. And you're going to get down before God, and you're going to make your life a life of seeking after God. That's how Pentecost came into this world, long before they had any organizations and had any great reputation in this world as the mighty people of God. They were nobodies. They were persecuted. They were hated. They were lied about. But oh, how they prayed. Oh, how they sought God. A woman who was there in the early days of Pentecost told me that she doesn't remember a single sick person that came for prayer who didn't get healed. I thought that was wonderful. Well, that's the way it ought to be. But she also said, you know, we never dared speak evil one of another. We didn't even dare think evil one of another. Beloved, that takes a cleansing, an inward cleansing by the power of the Holy Ghost, until we really have been delivered from this inward corruption. Judge not that ye be not judged. Wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. And if you do not forgive from the heart your neighbor and your friends and your enemies, neither will God forgive you. And yet we carry all this corruption around with us, and we feel pretty spiritual. We feel pretty good. But this woman says, when anyone was convicted of having an evil thought or an unkind thought about anybody in the meeting, they'd get up publicly in the meeting and confess it and ask forgiveness. Now, I don't think that was necessary if they had asked God forgiveness, but they wanted to be absolutely sure. Oh, that's what I mean when I refer to the Apostle Paul. He says, you Philippians think you're perfect. Don't. I don't consider myself to have attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after. Now the German Bible makes that very strong. Ich jage ihm nach. That's, I pursued with all my zeal. Ich jage ihm nach. I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I was apprehended of Christ Jesus. What have I been apprehended for? Jesus. Lord Jesus, is that real to me that you've gripped me? Is that real to me that you've apprehended me? You've gotten hold of me. You have called me your beloved and your own, and you've got one grand purpose to present me spotless in that day, to lift me out of my natural self, to clothe me upon with immortality. We sing too glibly and we talk too glibly about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ unless we do as the Apostle Paul did. Count it all but refuse. I'm so thankful that God demanded of me to forget and forsake everything. And as I said last night, I cried for a whole year, not over my sins, but over the necessity of forsaking the dearest in life, my father and my mother, and not only forsaking them, but breaking their heart. God demanded it of me. Mind you, God demanded of me to break my mother's heart and my father's heart. Oh, how they wept and how I wept. I said, God, if you had asked me to have my head chopped off, that would be easy and simple in comparison to this sacrifice. I've known others that were asked the same thing, and they weakened. And I cannot blame them at all. But God somehow had given me grace to see the glory of the Son of God and that great eternal call. And beloved, today the call comes out of eternity. And if you don't like it, you don't have to. You can do exactly as you please. You can hang around the world and the flesh and the devil and be condemned with the world. Or you can heed that call of the great bridegroom. Come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. And I know in my days it may have been a little bit easier because I had that help of Mrs. Robinson. And you say you don't have that help. You have that same help, that same Jesus Christ that taught her and directed her life and directed the Apostle Paul is with you, knocking at your heart, offering himself to you. But he doesn't come unless you seek him with your whole heart. That's the call of God. And God must give unto me a seeking spirit, a spirit that controls my prayer life so that I cannot choose my days and I cannot choose my occupation in my days and in my years. But Jesus Christ chooses for me. And when he chooses for me, then my life is his and hid with Christ in God. And beloved, these blessings come to everyone that will really seek the Lord with all their hearts. I remember on the 24th of January, 1924, God gave a message in Kenosha, Wisconsin that went to my heart. I have it tight. I offered it to anybody that wanted it in those days. There was only one person that asked for it. But Jesus Christ said, if you have any idea of the glory that waits for those that get a larger vision of me, you would cry day and night to know me. I mentioned it to Elder Brooks and he said, don't I know it? Don't I know it? Beloved, the day will come when our hearts will be filled with remorse and we'll say, we knew all about it, we heard about it, we could have, we had the opportunity, we had the time, we had the blessing, we could have found God, but we were just too lazy to find him. Beloved, when the gospel of Jesus Christ comes to me, Jesus comes to me. It isn't man, it's the Son of God that comes to me. And why do you come to me? Why did you come to the Apostle Paul? Why, my Lord? Why, he says, he's a chosen vessel unto me to carry my name to the Gentiles and before kings and before princes. And there he had a vessel. As soon as he showed him his glory, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It was done. It was absolutely settled with the Apostle Paul. And he said, I count not my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy. And now he calls upon the Philippians, do as I do. Forget the things that are behind. Count them but refuse. And he doesn't mean sin. And he doesn't mean worldliness. He doesn't mean the movie pictures and your television rottenness. But it means the things that are gained to you, the things that were gained to him, he counted refuse. The German Bible says mischt. Oh, Jaraba Zerangelo Kombo Fai Palaporangeli Colon Zotonopoloco, and the Spirit of God has come from heaven to communicate Christ to us. Not to make us speak in tongues and prophesy and do miracles and wonders, but to grip us, to grip us. You must think that the Holy Spirit that speaks over your lips and that animates you and anoints you even at this moment, he is God Almighty. He has come in the name of the great Creator and the great Savior. And he comes to you to grip you and to work in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And here the Apostle Paul says, I write to you, even weeping about many that had a beginning. And now they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Beloved, we don't even know what the cross means unless we take up the cross daily to follow Jesus Christ. When you talk about him and he says, lo, I am with you always. Who is this that says that? Why, it's the crucified. Glory to God, it's one that was crucified for me and now offers me the virtue and the power of his death that alone can deliver me from the bondage of corruption and prepare me for heaven and the glory that shall be revealed in us. And what is that glory? It's the very glory of the Son of God. And God wants us somehow to get hold of it and wants us to realize that we're great fools. If we don't do as the Apostle Paul did, beloved, I know few people that do that. I've gone through the world, and I find few people. I find that most people today are enemies of the cross of Christ. I was talking last night about a group of young men that came to Edwin. They were young men from our assembly, and we hear it again. I said to Edwin, I've heard that song for 40 years. Oh, we want socials, we want this and that and the other, and of course you need that, and God will, the Bible says, all these things shall be added unto you, but when they take foremost place in your life, it's because you love the things of the world. They that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. When we bought our church, the basement room was a gymnasium. And the Presbyterian church demanded it. They still wanted to use it for a while because the neighborhood boys came in there and played basketball, and that's all it was good for. Our brethren, Brother Seiler and the other brethren, they fixed a prayer room, and oh, what a marvelous prayer room it has become. But how much more wonderful, if Almighty God could wake us up and make us fall in love with Jesus. Beloved, nothing else will do it but that lovership given to us by the Holy Ghost. When it becomes a burden to you to come to church and to pray, it's because you mind the things of the flesh. You're controlled by the flesh and the world and the devil. And Jesus Christ has come to deliver you from that wrath, to lift you from the dunghill and set you among princes and make you inherit the throne of glory. And we have seen a great cloud of such witnesses. Think of Joseph in Egypt, who when he was tempted, and that temptation was very real because he lived in a country where adultery and fornication was usage. Everybody lived in it, and it was considered pleasure, like it is today in America. And if Joseph had fallen for that harlot woman, nobody could have censored him. He was far away from Sunday school, far away from his mother apron strings, far away from his father. Who in the world's going to bother? And what a temptation to a fine-looking young man. But there was the fear of God in his heart. There was the love of God controlling him. How can I do this evil and sin against God? That's what we need, beloved. Because you may not be tempted by these gross sins, but you're tempted by the great Savior. You're called by the great bridegroom of your soul. You are wooed by the Holy Ghost who's gone forth to win a bride for the Son of God. And oh, how few and far between are the souls that choose Jesus above all else and forsake everything else. Beloved, it'll come to you if you'll really go after God with a real seeking spirit. If you'll take your hours and your days and your months and your years to clamor for him, to cry after Jesus. Oh, why should I wander an alien from thee or cry in the desert for bread? Thy foes will rejoice when my sorrow they see and smile at the tears I have shed. Oh, I tell you, when God sees one single soul going into the closet, the prayer closet, getting alone into the woods, going off somewhere. I had the hardest time in the army because in those days, in the early World War, there was no provision made for Protestants. The Jews had their chapel and their chaplains, and the Catholics did, but the Protestants didn't have anybody. But I had to pray. I had to seek the Lord, and oh, how God came to me. And when I came out of the army, I said, what will I do now? I lived in a house where I couldn't pray out loud, and in those days I had to cry to God. So I went out into the woods. I hid myself in the bushes. I cried to God. I thought I was all alone. And then one day I felt the presence, and I opened my eyes, and there she stood, quietly moving her lips. Her dark brown eyes looked so sad. Heard me cry as if to say, what's
bother you. It was a Jersey cow.
But I tell you, God
says his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth. And they do tonight. And what is he looking for? Not for people who hate the cross of Christ, who mind earthly things, who are controlled by the things of earth. I don't blame you. Young men, I don't blame you if you're controlled by these things. Once I was controlled by them also. I know what it is, trying to be religious, trying to go to church, having to pray and not feeling like it. I know what it's like.
But when you get a sight of Jesus Christ, beloved, on the cross, and you remember and you see what it costs to deliver you, not only from your sin, but from yourself.
From yourself, and to transform you into the image of God, to make a new creation out of you, to make a bride of Christ out of you. When you get a sight of what it cost Jesus Christ, then you'll think, had I a thousand hearts to give, Lord, they should all be thine. And when you make that consecration, I tell you, God Almighty will step out of heaven, and he'll visit you, and he'll empower you, and he'll change you.
And oh, how
all of us need a seeking spirit that will not be satisfied with anything but the sight of the Son of God. We have not yet seen him as he is, because when we do, we shall be like him. But beloved, when the Bible talks about the coming of the Lord, makes one thing clear. That's what I'm here for. That's what the Holy Ghost is here for. I am to hasten the coming of the day of God. The whole church has been too slow about it, because they love the things of earth. I write unto you, weeping enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their belly, who glory in their shame, and they mind earthly things. And don't people glory in their shame today? Oh, America. America, a nation that was not founded in a pool room or in a saloon, but in a prayer meeting. Today, they throw the Bible out of the schools, and they open all the doors wide to pornography. All the vile, foul vomit of the devil and of all the devil powers. It's flooding the nation and carrying away our youth with a flood of wickedness and uncleanness, so that even our churches are defiled by it. And that's where we are, beloved. Jesus says the flood came and took them all away, and where the carcasses, there will the vultures gather. But oh, today the mighty God speaks from heaven to our hearts, and he shows us the way. They that seek me early, early shall find me. They that seek me early shall find me. Beloved, that's the great grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that puts into your heart a love for Jesus, so that you'll want him, but you cannot apprehend him. You will not find him except as you seek him with your whole heart. We are developing a religion that is very easy. As we said yesterday, instant coffee, barabo, instant salvation. Instant baptisms. I met these people. They've been to these revival meetings. They have been told to open their mouth and say hallelujah until their tongue wraps itself around their false teeth. And then they were told they had the baptism, and I tell you, they get into trouble. They do. That's not the kind of a baptism I want. It's not the kind of a baptism you want. You want God. You want the triune God to come and take possession of you. That's what Paul's talking about. He's great. And now I cannot think of anything else. I cannot give my heart or my attention or my life or my body. Your body, this wonderful body is purchased with a great price. Oh, my Father, what a call for young people. Instead of letting these bodies be consumed by the fire of lust, to let them be burning with the fire of the love of God and the Spirit of the living God. Oh, what a call comes out of eternity, that I might apprehend that for which also I was apprehended of Christ Jesus. And that's what belongs to children. We're here tonight. Where will we be in 1,000 years? There's the call. Where will we be? Will we be filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory? Well, we ought to be filled with that now. Rejoice in the Lord always.
And here my Lord tells me, enemies of the cross of Christ, taking it easy, following the lusts of the flesh and the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and are by nature children of wrath, he says their end is destruction.
Beloved, the Bible is very clear about this thing, and it scares me.
How many times when I'm alone with God, I say, my God, help me not to talk like that again. My Father talks about spewing me out of his mouth.
You're lukewarm. Oh, that thou were cold or hot. And you say you're rich and increased with goods, and you have need of nothing.
Beloved, I have come, he says, that you might be rich. Dear Lord Jesus, and how are you going to make me rich? Well, the question is always the same. Do you want me? Do you want your Lord? Do you want Jesus? The Apostle Paul wanted him more than anything else.
I count everything but refuse for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I traveled through India. I feel so sorry for our missionaries. They're being crowded into the corner because now the native are taking over. And how are they now? They're getting smart. They had a little taste of the power of God, and they're not satisfied with it. Now they come over to America and study philosophy. I told them right out in their convention, that's the curse that has cursed India. They don't need more philosophy. They don't need more of that deception. They need Christ, Jesus Christ. And they're not going to find Christ if you go on like this, preaching yourself and preaching stuff out of your own heads. Oh, beloved, Christ is Christ. Jesus is Jesus. Jesus is your Jesus.
Jesus, I darikano yele banjoto no fangai.
There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And how do you walk after the Spirit? Why, you pray in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit helps our infirmity.
Oh, my Father, we don't hear enough. We don't hear enough of this groaning that cannot be uttered. Oh, when the Spirit of God grips your vitals, when he grips your solar plexus, grips your stomach and your kidneys, it's the healthiest medicine for your whole body. It grips you. Glory to God. Oh, we don't give God a chance. That's what's the matter. We don't realize the glory.
The glory that shall be revealed in us, beloved, will be worth a thousand lives spent
in prayer and self-denial and waiting upon God. When one of the great atheists was dying, I just remember his name. He pointed to a red-hot stove in the corner of the room, and he said, I never believed there was a God nor a hell. Now I know that both exist, and if I could bake on that stove for a million years, it would be a blessing in comparison to what's waiting me. That's the testimony of an infidel. What is my testimony? What is awaiting me if I go on living a careless, half-hearted Christian life? What is today the result of so much of that worldliness that we find in Pentecost? Oh, now they have roller rinks party. They have to have them. The boy has to meet the girl. Instead of meeting Christ, instead of being filled with the power of God. You know how many people are kicked about this camp? They'd like to come here if they could have their own way. They didn't have to attend the meetings as often as they did. Why, this camp was not filled to call a lot of hypocrites. This camp was built to give those a chance that really mean business with God. That's what it's here for. And that's why holiness unto the Lord is the slogan, is the motto over this camp that God Almighty himself has pronounced. Let it remain that. Dear Father, leaving all becomes a great glory, a great
with joy, yea, my own life also. Why, when I see this glorious life of the Son of God coming to pulsate within me, to replace my own defiled, weak, struggling life, why, then it becomes the greatest call of God to my heart. But, beloved, it requires a seeking after God. It does. I was glad that Brother Wanamaker stopped with us. Now, I learned some things from him when I first met him. He was praying all the time. People didn't think much of him because he couldn't talk English, he couldn't talk German, he couldn't talk Hungarian to perfection. He made lots of mistakes. And they said to me, well, he can give a little talks, you know, he can do that. And when he opened his mission in Milwaukee, they invade against him from the pulpit. They didn't like him to open a mission. Went down into a basement. I was with him then. He would spend 2 weeks on end just waiting on the Lord. He was very weak in body. And he would pray 3 hours and then study the Bible 3 hours and then pray another 3 hours and then go to sleep. Day after day, day after day. Oh, how he prayed. Oh, how he prayed. When little Johnny came into the home, he learned. The first thing he learned was to walk, and then he learned how to pray. His pa would pray like this all day long, and little Johnny would follow him. And if his pa would sit down sometime, Johnny would say, pa, pray. Pa, pray. Beloved, I tell you, God's used that man to shape the ends of the world.
Yes, Lord.
Not like great men, you know, whose names are found in the newspapers, but I could tell you some very interesting and marvelous episodes where Almighty God took that boy and carried him across the ocean to lick the devil. He did. It's because he wanted God. He didn't want to preach. He doesn't want to preach today. He said the other night that he couldn't preach. But he can certainly convict. I tell you, he can. So can you. Oh, Yarabayala, I tell you, weeping enemies of the cross of Christ, don't you go over to them. Let them come over to you. You live a life with God. Live like the Apostle Paul. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ Jesus. And I like to say this to every Sunday school teacher and every Christian worker in this place. Don't look around and see how many people follow you. Look at Jesus and run after him as fast as you can, and you'll be magnetic. You'll have a following before you know, and you'll have the right kind of people following you. It'll be the kind of people that have tasted of the goodness of the Word of God and of the powers of the world to come. And when Jesus comes, you'll not be ashamed before him at his coming. Don't say that you haven't heard my word. Don't say that you haven't heard from heaven. Don't say that you haven't been met by God, but rather bow your heart, and I will write my law upon your heart.